This is Dr. Max T. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies, and it's a privilege to have you do that. We thank you for the response that we've gotten over the messages here concerning Martin Luther, a false teacher, and one who has perverted the Scriptures, has chopped little pieces out of verses in order to fit his philosophy, to pawn it off onto his people, those that will follow him and believe what he says over the Bible. We've covered many of those things, but I thought we'd take one more on Mr. Luther and show you, again, the trickery of this man. And most of us, I think, irregardless of what religion, acknowledge the fact that there are Ten Commandments. And that's very interesting, and there are. Literally, as far as the Ten Commandments embodiment of what God wants us to do. Although, literally, there are 720. One rabbi told me that in that vicinity, about 720 laws, and these laws are in three different sections. There is the moral law, and that is mainly in the Ten Commandments. Then we have the ceremonial law, all of the religious activities and so forth, and the mercy seat and so forth, and the offering of the blood sacrifices. Those are the ceremonial laws, with the blood always pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb and so forth. And then you have the civil laws. That was to govern the civil life of those, or the Israelites, and the Ten Commandments were given to the nation of Israel. But now this is very interesting, because when we check what Martin Luther did, he was very sneaky, he was very divisive, and he was very dishonest and in concerning the Ten Commandments. And you say, oh, my Pastor Younce, you went off of the deep end again. Well, my friend, if you're a Lutheran, you're already off on the deep end, because you have believed this man. And we want to show this to you, and we'd like for you to look it up, because really your God is Martin Luther, and the Bible is your catechism, not the Word of God. And, you'll use it periodically, and you'll use it to teach little stories and so forth, but your God really is the catechism, the large and small catechism. Now, I want to read you the Ten Commandments that are found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And also, they are repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy means the giving of the law the second time. And we find out that in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6 to 21, we have in the exact same order now the Ten Commandments. So I would like to read them to you. And we'll start here with Exodus chapter 20, because Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 6 to 21 have exactly the same order and practically the same wording as Exodus chapter 20. So let me begin. Now, just before I begin, I want to give you, out of Luther's small catechism, first of all, setting you up to brainwash you that the second commandment is not there. In other words, let me read you what he says, and if you have a small catechism, I'll save you the trouble of looking it up, and you can go to page 44. Excuse me. On page 44, you'll find out a little note at the top under the Ten Commandments. Now, Luther's preparing you now for his evading the second commandment. He's getting you all set up here now, just like he does for water baptism, to tell you that it washes away your sins, it frees you from the devil, it makes you a child of God, and you get the Holy Spirit when your preacher sprinkles a few drops of water on your head it gives you eternal life. And that's amazing. But the Bible says the blood does that, not the water, Mr. Luther. But here we have, and let's see how Mr. Luther sets you up. So those of you that have the small catechism, you're going to look at this. You're not going to look at your Bible, of course. But you're going to look at this, and let me read you what Mr. Luther says. He says, the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, but he did not say which is the first, the second, the third, and etc. Not all churches use the same order in numbering the commandments. Well, Mr. Luther, I don't know any churches that don't use the same order unless they want to pervert them. I mean, you come over and you say that he did not say which is the first, the second, and the third. But when I go to your large catechism, Mr. Luther, on page 6, I find out that you did number them, Mr. Luther. And you put the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, why did you put it number 1, Mr. Luther? But that's exactly what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20. Now, I want to read you, and we come to number 1, okay? Now, God didn't say, Mr. Luther, I'm going to put this is number 1 with a period and then there. But when I give them to you, the first one I give to you would be number 1, wouldn't it? Of course. But now you're going to excuse that, and some churches don't number them that way. And that's going to give you a cop-out, Mr. Luther, to all of those that are silly enough to follow your philosophy, sir, when you extract the second commandment and you don't even put it in. And then you go at the end of the commandments that you're going to expound upon, you take the 10th commandment, sir, and divide it in 2, so that it leads your believers to believe that there are 10 commandments, but they have no idea that you left the second one out, sir. Now, that's very interesting. Now, let's go here, and I want to read you, and when God puts the first commandment first, he didn't put a number 1 with a period, Mr. Luther, so that leaves it so that you can do with it what you want to do. But let's read, and we'll begin in Exodus chapter 20 here, and in verse 1. And God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one he gives. So we'd have to say it's number 1, wouldn't we? Then number 2, we find out the next. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Then he goes on to the next one. But Mr. Luther, you left. Now, in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment that he gives, sir. And the second commandment is the very next one in verse 4, 5, and 6. It talks about the graven images and making idols and so forth, just like they used to do in Ephesus with the goddess Diana. And that's what they did. But now we find out also that you just left verses 4, 5, and 6 completely out, Mr. Luther, because in your large catechism, when you number them, you number the first commandment, ye shall have no other gods before me. And then you put the second commandment, Mr. Luther, as ye shall not take the name of God in vain. Now, we don't get to that one, sir. That's really the third commandment. So we come over here to verse 4, or here to verse let's see where we're at here now, in verse 7. And we find out in the Bible now, I'm reading from the Bible now, in verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, that's the third commandment, Mr. Luther, but you left out verses 4, 5, and 6, which is the second commandment, which has the making of idols, the making of these plaster Paris and so forth of Mary, and making them of Joseph, and making them of some of the saints and so forth like that. You evidently believe that, Mr. Luther, because you left this commandment out. This is the second commandment, and I'll be daggone if you didn't eliminate it. You just went right over the top by brainwashing your people that, you know, not all churches use the same ordering and numbering the commandments. Well, who in the world cares what churches? I don't know any churches. Maybe they did back at your time, Mr. Luther. Maybe they didn't. Maybe you just made it up, as you do a lot of other things, in order to qualify now that what you put is right. How tricky you are, sir. Now, let me ask you this. You're a Lutheran. You're listening to the broadcast, and you're a Lutheran. Let me ask you something. If I wanted to teach my children the Ten Commandments, And Luther continually wants you to go to the catechism, go to the catechism, read the catechism, study the catechism, and do this. Now, let me just read you for here in the large catechism, okay? In the large catechism, it says this on page 6. It says, hence, from ancient times, it has been called in Greek a catechism, that is, instruction for children. Its contents represent the minimum of knowledge required of a Christian. Whoever does not possess it should not be reckoned among Christians, nor admitted to a sacrament. And then it goes on down, for this reason, young people should be thoroughly instructed in the various parts of the catechism, or children's sermons, and diligently drilled in their practice. Therefore, it is the duty of every head of a household to examine his children and servants at least once a week and ascertain what they have learned of it. Now, he has the three parts. He has the Ten Commandments. He has the chief articles of faith. And then he has the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, and so forth. And then we come here. We go to page 7, down here to the last paragraph. And we find out these are the most, this is what Luther writes now, these are the most necessary parts of Christian instruction. I thought, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, is the most important, sir, because you can try to keep the Ten Commandments, which no man has ever done except Jesus Christ, and you can go right straight to hell. James 2:10 tells us that whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty as if he's broken it all. Why? Because whether you've broken 10 of them or you've broken one, there is no sin in heaven, and therefore the wages of sin is death, and you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, no, I don't believe the Lord's Prayer is the most important in that. We should learn to repeat them word for word. And then he goes on down, and he says this. He says, our children should be taught the habit of reciting them daily when they rise in the morning, when they go to their meals, and when they go to bed at night. Now, until they repeat them, they should not be given anything to eat or drink. Well, Mr. Luther, I thought you were a nice man. You're not going to give your children anything to eat or drink, huh? Every father has the same duty to his household. He should, get this now, dismiss manservants and maidservants if they do not know things and are unwilling to learn them. In other words, if you have servants and they don't believe the way you do, Mr. Luther says you ought to fire them. Well, I don't think, Mr. Luther, if you were living today, you'd quite get away with that kind of philosophy and hatefulness that you have, sir. In other words, it's my way or the highway. Isn't that right, Mr. Luther? That's a funny thing. We have a lot of people around Walnut Grove that hate us because we are not Lutherans, we're not Catholics, and we expose the false teaching of both of these organizations. They literally hate us. They hate me especially, of course, because we teach the Bible, and yet they are so stupid in a sense they don't realize I didn't write the Bible. And all you have to do is the fact of look in the Bible and prove me wrong. But you know the Word of God, when you teach the Bible, you're going to find out religious people that follow a man, or the Pope, or the priest, or the cardinals, or whoever it is, or a Joseph Smith, or whatever cult leader it is, you're going to find out they hate you because their full confidence is in that leader and their writings. Ellen G. White, I have many books by her. And yet these people follow this woman, you see. And it's very interesting. But they'll hate you. But you know the difference between religion and Christianity is I don't hate them. I don't hate them at all. We pray for them. Hope that the Lord or the Holy Spirit will open their eyes, unplug their ears, just like they did to Israel. And that, he said, your eyes have you closed. And that's exactly what it does. So when he comes here to the second commandment here and says, in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Other words, you're trusting in some false leader, some man's philosophy, even to the third and fourth generation. Sometimes it takes the children moving away from mom and dad and getting out from under their control, out from the relatives where they can think for themselves, and they're not intimidated before you can break away from these religions that have been founded by men and not founded on the Bible. So visiting the iniquity of the children to the third and fourth generation, sometimes it takes that long before they get away. When you get in an area where most everybody is related, or I should say a multitude of people are related in one way or another, it's a whole different scenario than when you go other places in bigger towns where that doesn't exist. Not to any degree as what it does in these little towns around here, and farms, and so forth, and maybe that's one of the reasons, I don't know. But I know this much. When God says, this is passed on from mother and dad onto their sons, and then their sons have their children passed on to them, then passed on to them, and right on down the line. And God says sometimes, what just to make it simply, it takes to the third and fourth generation. So if I want my children, if I want my children to learn the Ten Commandments, I'm not going to learn them if I go to Luther's Catechism. I'm not going to learn them at all, you see, because it's not there. And Luther left the second commandment out. Why did you do that, Mr. Luther? Because you came out of Catholicism. You didn't really come out. They kicked you out. They excommunicated you. First, you tried to be a monk. And you know the amazing thing to me about this man who was so double-minded, and he was about as fouled up as any man I've ever seen. And yet, this man, double-minded, when he first started out, he wanted to be a monk. But you had a Bible, Mr. Luther, and you had John chapter 3, verse 16, that God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. Why didn't you read that and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, Mr. Luther? And had you done that, you wouldn't have had to go there and practice asceticism and so forth like that. Then you came out of that. That didn't work. And one thing, you had a Bible, Mr. Luther, just like people have a Bible today. And they're following you? This is absolutely unbelievable. But the reason is, Mr. Luther, they don't read their Bible. You have implanted the large catechism and the small catechism, and that is their Bible. Well, let's read on down now. This is an amazing thing. Then I want to show you, right from his words, how, since he eliminated the second commandment in verses 4, 5, and 6, then we come on down to the 10th commandment. And we come on down here. Now, we go on back here in his large catechism, and Mr. Luther says the 9th and 10th commandments, and you'll find this on page 48 of the large catechism, because I'm sure you Lutherans will be running to the catechism and looking it up. And then if you do, what are you going to do with it? You're going to your preacher and say, are you the puppet behind the pulpit? You following this man? You're teaching us the philosophy of this man? Why don't you teach us more of the Bible? Why don't you open the Bible to Exodus chapter 20? Because if you're teaching your children the catechism, they'll never learn the Ten Commandments, because Luther didn't want anything to do with the second commandment. Now let me tell you what he says here on number 292, but it's on page 48 of the large catechism. Here's what he says. The 9th and the 10th commandments in bold type. These two commandments taken literally, were given exclusively to the Jews, but nevertheless, in part, they also apply to us. Now, you talk about double talk, and then here's what he quotes. Ye shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not. Now, that's his 9th commandment. This is all one commandment, if you didn't know this, but Luther divides it. You shall not cover his wife, his manservant, maidservant, cattle, or anything that is his. Let me read this again, how stupid this is. And I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't know if you're a Lutheran, you ever read a large catechism, and you ever digest what you read, instead of just reading over the skim surface of the top. Let me read you what he says about these. Now, first of all, he lied to you because they are not two commandments. They are not the 9th commandment. They are not the 10th commandment. So, you're going to take your children to the Lutheran church, and you're going to teach them they should learn the catechism, just like Martin Luther wants you to. So first of all, they'll never know anything about the second commandment because you've taken them to Luther's philosophy instead of the Bible. But let me read you what he says of these. This is unbelievable. These two commandments taken literally, well, why would we not take them literally, Mr. Luther, were given exclusively to the Jews. Yes, they were given to the Jews, sir. But now since he divided them, nevertheless, look out. Here we go, and that's what he says. Nevertheless, now, if we, in part, they also apply to us. So, if we split them up, they will apply to us. That is about as unbelievable. And you people buy this? Now, we find out here, he goes on down a few lines later and says, God therefore added these two commandments. So, now you're to believe they are two different commandments because Martin Luther divided them. You're to follow Martin Luther and to believe. But they are not two commandments. You are added these two commandments to teach them that it is sinful and forbidden to covet our neighbor's wife, property, or to have any designs upon them, and so forth. And then we find out, unbelievable. Why would you do that, Mr. Luther? Do you believe in the fact that this would undermine what you really believe, sir? Would it really undermine that? Now, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, now Luther already set you up by saying, not all churches number them the same way. Who cares what churches do but the Bible? See, here we get away from the Bible now. Not all churches number them the same way. So that gives Luther an out to number them however he wants to, because he's telling you that other churches don't number them the same way, and you're getting set up again to be conned, really, by this man, Martin Luther. the great deceiver. He surely is. And then he says this, not all churches use the same order in numbering the commandments. Well, Martin Luther, you know what? It's a very interesting thing, but you did the same thing when it comes to water baptism. You're either taking away from the Word of God, you're eliminating the Word of God, or you're using little pieces of the Word of God. Let me give you another here, and we went over this previously, but I just want to point this out to you. This is the man you're following for eternal life instead of Jesus Christ? When I talk to some of you Lutherans, you don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. I was speaking to a lady, and I invited her to listen to our radio broadcast, and I said, we're on Martin Luther and the great deceiver. Oh, she said, oh, Martin Luther. And, like, good night, he's her God. He's her God. Oh, you would say something against Martin Luther, a dead man for 500 years you Lutherans are worshiping? A dead man. I mean, I don't know where common sense is and the Bible, but it sure doesn't fit in to your life, I'll sure tell you that. But it comes to 1 Peter chapter 3, Luther did this. But you know what? If you've been raised a Lutheran by mother and daddy, or grandma and grandpa, it'll probably take another two or three generations before somebody has enough sense to say, hey, I don't want to buy that garbage. I do not believe Martin Luther. I'm not worshiping a dead man. I could care less about his writings. They contradict prolifically the Word of God time after time after time. In James chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And Mr. Luther, you are a double-minded man. You say one thing in one part of your catechism, you contradict yourself in another part of it, and you've got thousands and thousands of people you're sending right straight to hell, sir, with your damnable philosophy. Let me give you the other thing. Not only did he eliminate three verses and take out the second commandment, but let me give you here, back again in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, and then it tells you the negative, what it does not save you from. It doeth not save us, not the putting away, or it doth save us, now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Martin Luther took six words. There's 36 words in that verse. Martin Luther just quoted first that baptism saves us and that, and left 30 words out. This man is a master of deceit in chopping the Word of God. Instead of rightly dividing the Word of God, as God tells us in the Bible, Luther chops any piece out that's going to contradict his damnable philosophy of baptismal regeneration. And he's a master at it. And it amazes me that some of you people follow this man. What do you do? No wonder you don't carry a Bible to church. How in the world are you going to know anything when you don't take your Bible to church and you check what the preacher says? You sit there like what? Just like you're in a trance or something? It's unbelievable. But Martin Luther, you only used six words, sir, out of a verse that has 36 words in it, and you lied to the people, sir. You told them baptism doth save us. It's not even talking about it. It's talking about saving you from not having a guilty conscience if you refuse to be baptized as your public testimony that your faith is in Jesus Christ, not the baptism saves you. It's a public profession. It symbolically shows that what you believed in your heart, with the heart man believeth into righteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have eternal life. And I'm put under the water. God doesn't want us to be ashamed of our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm publicly showing that by water baptism. And you're sprinkling a few drops of water over my head, sir? You have got to be kidding. That's not even baptism anywhere found in the Bible, sir. But it is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We find out this concerning the Bible. It is by the blood, therefore, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So if you're a Lutheran and listening, and I hope that you are, you'll never teach your children the Ten Commandments by going to the false teacher of Martin Luther. You never will, because this man was a false teacher. He was a liar. He mutilated the Word of God in order to fit his own philosophy to pawn it off to you, and his preachers are nothing more than little puppets behind the pulpit that master what he said, you see. And if we go, and I just want to read this to you, because you truly are one that Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, but I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, their counterfeits. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The great deceiver, Martin Luther. I could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. But if these messages aren't enough to even challenge you to look in your Bible, then I'll tell you what. You will go on and die and hear the devastating words, "Depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I can only suggest to you, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Dump this man before he dumps you into the lake of fire. He's a false teacher. And the sad part about it is, why don't we have preachers coming out? Now, they'll write about him, and you can find this on your website and so forth. But they don't seem to have enough backbone to come out and let it go through the air, which it should. And what a help it would be to some of you. I thank God for many of the Lutherans we've led to the Lord Jesus Christ and got away from this false teacher. I hope you'll be one of them, but it's your life. Whatever you believe, if you believe Martin Luther, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Baptism never saves you. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he said God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Well, I see our time's gone. We hope that you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Our church service on Sunday morning begins at 10 o'clock until 11, and then Sunday evening from 6 to 7, and our youth group on Thursday night, every Thursday night from 7 to 9. We just say this in closing, keep looking up, because some golden daybreak, Jesus will come, as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.